Pastor Ray Bentley says when we pray, in effect, we confess our dependence on our Heavenly Father.
Tell God what you need. That's what prayer is. And I want to say that there are some of you that have this idea to be needy, there's something wrong with that. We are needy. And in fact, as you develop this whole concept of needing the Lord, you will be powerful, but it won't be your strength, it'll be the Lord's.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. We all love our independence. I am a rock, I am an island, as the folk song said. But it's lonely to be an island in the midst of a storm. Today, Pastor A helps us see how we're dependent on God, not only for our prayer requests, but for the very air we breathe. But it's in our best interest to trust His lead.
Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. The title of the message is Prescription for Spiritual Health. A prescription for spiritual health. Philippians 4, verse 6. Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Be anxious for nothing, Paul says. Why does somebody say, don't be anxious? It's like when the Bible says, don't be afraid. Well, what it tells you is they're afraid. What it tells you is that Paul knew there was a lot of anxiety in the church in Philippi. There was a lot of anxiety in the church in general. And Paul's answer to anxiety, and I think that Paul himself probably wrestled with anxiety. He had a lot of things to be anxious about. Number one, he's in prison. Secondly, he doesn't know if I'm going to live or not when I get out of prison. They might kill me. There were concerns about the churches he had planted, all kinds of false doctrines. So anyway, Paul's encouragement, here's some advice from your brother, the Apostle Paul. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. In other words, those things that concern me, and I have a lot of things that concern me. You have a lot of things that concern you. Those things that worry me, those things that cause anxiety in me, pray. Give it to the Lord. Turn those very things. The things that are concerning me and making me anxious are the very things I need to pray about. Lord, I give you my problems. I give to you my concerns. I commit myself to you. And then I make a choice to say, I'm going to trust my Father in heaven to take care of them. And I need to know and believe that once I have given them into God's hands, they're His. He will work. He has always worked. Now, I have to admit that oftentimes the way God works is not to my liking. He has His own way of doing things. And sometimes His way is that rather than removing hardship, He actually stiffens my back and shoulder to lean into it. Sometimes instead of removing an obstacle, He asks me to get involved in actually walking through. Sometimes He does things that don't make sense to me until far later. Hindsight is always 20/20. When I look in the future, it's very fuzzy. But when I look back, I go, wow, Lord, you are wise. You know what you're doing. And so I learn that even when things don't go my way, as I trust in the Lord, I learn that He has a better plan. And in the process, my faith is developed and grows. And I learn to trust in the Lord in new ways. In your notes is Acts chapter 14, verse 22. And put it in there, New King James Version. This is a very true statement about our lives briefly right now on earth. Let's read it out loud. we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. I wish I could tell you there is a way to avoid all tribulations. I wish I could tell you if you will follow these seven key principles, steps, whatever, that you will avoid the tribulations that everybody else has to go through. But it's not there. In fact, by design, we will enter into the kingdom of God after having gone through many tribulations. And in those tribulations, just as I mentioned or referred to the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were thrust into that fiery trial, literally, they should have been burned and consumed, but instead, the only thing that actually was burned in the fire were the ropes that bound them. And what my point is that that's what can happen to a child of God who walks, you know, committed to the Lord, is that you can be in the midst of a fiery trial and yet not be burned. Well, there may be things burned, but the things that are burned are things, the ropes that were hindering you from fully being the man that God meant you to be or the woman that God meant for you to be. So the worries, the concerns, the anxieties, pray about them and give them over to the Lord. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer, very simply, these three things. Prayer is a conversation with God. Note, it is not a monologue. It's not a just, okay, Lord, here's everything that I need. Here's everything that I want. Amen. And then walk away. But for some of you, let me encourage, yes, get it all out. Share everything, everything that would otherwise make you anxious. Pour it out and give it to the Lord. And then wait upon him. Just be still. Just quietly in his presence. He'll speak to you through your own mind and thoughts. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. If it is true that the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, then it means that he can communicate directly in your own thoughts. But the origin of those thoughts is not you, it's the Lord. But it's interesting that he doesn't shout over our distractions and our filling our heads with who knows what. In fact, he speaks so gently and so softly, he's easily trampled out and ignored. So you have to get to a place where you're quiet and where you're relaxed and you're just communing with the Lord and loving the Lord, and all of a sudden, things you've poured out your heart to him, then he'll start speaking to you. And it's just the most wonderful, beautiful, amazing time to allow the Lord to minister to you in your own mind, within your own heart, within your own soul, loving him and worshiping him and listening to him. And then prayer is making my requests to the Father. I've got Philippians 4:6 out of the New Living Translation. So it's in your notes. Let's read it out loud. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Tell God what you need. That's what prayer is. And I want to say that there are some of you, men especially, but some women as well, that have this idea that to be needy is there's something wrong with that. That's not true. It is not only okay to be needy, it's the truth. We are needy. That's the way that it is. Now, I know the world says, whatever you do, you know, stiffen yourself, don't let people hurt you, and look out for yourself, because no one else will, and don't need anybody. Don't need God, don't need other people. You just be self-sufficient. Well, you know, good luck, and if that's the way that you want to go, so go. But when you come to Jesus, really, one of the first things of realization of reality is, I'm not so sufficient. I'm not so whole. In fact, I have holes. I have brokenness. I have needs. And for those who would say, well, that doesn't sound very macho to be needy, Let me tell you, I wish to God that I could bring Moses for you to see, because I see him when I read the story of the Exodus. That guy was a man. He was a leader. He was powerful and authoritative, and at the same time, he was desperately needy upon God. And David, for a short, brief period of time, for about 40 years, David was the most powerful human being on the planet Earth. And he was a man of prayer. He was a man who, in a moment, would cry out to God, "Lord, help me, help us, deliver us. We need you. Send your armies, send your angels. Go before us, Father." And he would cry out to the Lord, and he would pray, and God helped him. God answered him. And, you know, nobody would walk up to David and call him a wimp and live to tell about it. The guy was, he was powerful. He was a stud. He was a man's man. And so I think it takes more manliness and more courage and more bravery and more honesty to say, "Here I am, Lord, with whatever gifts and talents I have, but I need you." Our culture has a tendency to worship power and strength. In fact, I know a few years ago, you know, power dressing was, you know, how to dress for power. So I Googled power dressing, and all these websites came up, how you, different ones, this is how you power dress if you're going to impress doctors or you want to impress lawyers or in this situation, how to power dress and different, all these different things of power dressing. And then power lunches, and they actually had little menus and how to conquer this situation, you present this food and then they give you whatever you want. I don't know. But anyway, I think it's gone too far. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. Let's read this scripture again confidently together. "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" If you have a pen or pencil, circle every time you see the word weak or weakness or weaknesses four times in that passage. Now, I get in the mail about several times a month a brochure on, you know, how to have church growth and how to, and a lot of times it very subtly creeps in about how to have a powerful church and a powerful ministry and power evangelism and power this and power that. And I think I know what they're saying, but I also, every time, I cringe just a little bit, because I think, I wonder if Paul would have advertised that or had a seminar like that. I rather doubt it. And in fact, in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10, I cannot imagine Paul saying that, you know, God saying that my power is made perfect when you're powerful, Paul, or Paul saying, "Therefore, I will the more boast gladly about all my powerfulness," or "I delight in how powerful I, the Apostle Paul, am," or "For when I am powerful, then I am strong." That's not the message. And neither is that honest. We alone, we're not very powerful. In Revelation, the best of the churches, it said, have a little strength. That's honest. That's reality. That's the truth. No human being is going to live forever and is so powerful that they will never die unless they come and admit their need for Jesus. So to me, it is the most manly, macho, honest, brave, courageous thing to develop in your life. And in fact, as you develop this whole concept of needing the Lord, you will be powerful, but it will be God's power. You will have a powerful ministry. You will have a powerful impact on other people's lives, but it won't be your power. It won't be your strength. It'll be the Lord's. And that also is the difference between a self-made man and a spirit-filled man. A self-made man always wants to talk about himself. And he talks about his accomplishments, and here's my degrees, and here's what I have done, and here's what I've made, and here's what I built, and here's what I have, you know, accomplished. And they have a tendency to just talk about themselves a lot, which is not a very attractive quality. A spirit-filled man, and you look and you may be amazed at the vision and the power of God and the things that are accomplished and miracles. And yet they always are deflecting that, saying, it's the Lord. I'm just trying to be obedient to the Lord. I listened to the Lord. Look what God has done. Look how good God has been. Look how faithful he is. Now that is an attractive quality, either on a man or a woman who is constantly giving the glory to God. Sometimes I see, you know, some of the most beautifully gifted, entertaining people, but it always mars it when they, you know, take the acclaim or the glory unto themselves. It is more rare and more enjoyable to find somebody who has some unusual gift or talent and yet who is always giving glory to the Lord. We don't impress God with our strength. The kingdom of God is really about his strength. Now look with me at verse 7. Here's the fruits of taking your anxieties and praying to the Lord. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Your minds, and here's Paul in prison. You don't think there were depressing thoughts pounding, trying to get at him, to defeat him, to discourage him, to tell him, Paul, you made it all up, bud. It's not real. It's not true. You just looked up. You saw the sun. It wasn't the Lord. You heard voices. And you're getting killed. You're getting beat up. And you're going to die lonely. And there's no reality to it. You don't think he fought against those things trying to get into him, to compromise a little, to slow down a little bit? The enemy surely came at him. And so Paul, with all this that is coming upon him, what is he sharing with us? He said, I need a guard that protects me. And the guard that protects me is the peace of God. The peace of God within, the peace of God in my heart. And peace is the result of prayer. In fact, if you have a pen or pencil, write that down. Peace is the result of prayer. Or you could put it this way. The peace is the fruit of prayer. If you've lost your peace, begin to pray. Pour out your heart to the Lord. Give it to him. And once you've said, okay, Lord, I cast my cares upon you. Now I commit my way to you. I trust in you. Your anxiety will be replaced by the peace and the presence of God. The same peace that calmed the sea, the raging stormy seas of Galilee. That powerful presence of Jesus and peace on the inside. And that peace is so strong, it's like a garrison. That's the word Paul uses. It's a garrison, kept, guarded, between the child of God and threatening circumstances stands this garrison. And a great river of peace is thrown like a moat around the citadel of his soul. Paul dwelt behind the safe walls of the peace of his Savior Jesus Christ. And it passes all understanding. It's not by figuring it out. It's just the peace of the Lord. And it guards your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. And then finally, verse 8. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. I like that. Here Paul is saying, now I have prayed and given the Lord my anxieties. I now am experiencing his peace. Now what? If you don't fill that peaceful mind with thoughts that are good news, they'll be filled with bad news. One of the things that I don't mean to blame the media because I think that's easy to do, but I think it's just a reality. The media, I think, is often just a reflection of who we all are anyway, or our society or our culture. But there is a tendency that, and in fact they have a phrase, and it says, if it bleeds, it leans. Meaning that the most brutal or graphic stories sometimes are given the attention and the priority. Good news is kind of in the back pages or in the little local community section. Well, Paul says that it's very important that you fill your mind with good news and with good thoughts. So he says, whatever things are true, good, noble, et cetera, et cetera. I was talking last night, and there was a mom that was so pleased with this because she has a daughter who all the time has popularized the word whatever, along with millions of other Valley girls. Whatever? I remember my daughter Annie. What do I remember? She still says it sometimes. Whatever, Dad. How many of you have daughters that have used the word whatever? How many of you use the word whatever? So there was this mom is trying to teach her young daughter, you know, that whatever is, you shouldn't say that. So here's a girl, and she's walking down the street, and she has a T-shirt, and the T-shirt on the front says, whatever. But then when she went past, she saw in the back, it had, is noble, true, good, worthy, on the back. It was the scripture. So now, of course, the girl says, whatever, and her mom gets on her case. She goes, I'm just quoting Paul, Mom. I mean, come on. Okay, good. Quote Paul then. Don't just stop with the whatever, but then add Philippians 4, verse 8. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just. So think on the truth. Think about things that have nobility, which means there are a lot of good things in the world. The world is not all bad. There are beautiful things in the world. Whatever things are just or right. Whatever things are pure. Think on these things. Whatever things are lovely, meaning attractive, could be anything from nature, going to the beach and seeing the ocean and the waves, or art that is lovely or attractive. Whatever things are of good report, good news, share that with one another. If there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, think on these things.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with a good recipe for controlling our minds and conforming them to the mind of Christ. We're studying the book of Philippians today here on Maranatha Radio. And you can hear this message on CD if you'd like. It's a study called Prescription for Spiritual Health. And we can send it your way for just $7. Contact us and mention the title Prescription for Spiritual Health. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Philippians on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your book, The Holy Land Key. And there's so much to learn from your insights, so many eye-opening facts. How do you hope that this information will change us once we've read it?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. I think as the world is focusing on the Middle East with all these refugees and the millions running every which way, and by the way, millions of them coming to faith in Jesus Christ, God wants to give us a lens to be able to see what He's doing on the earth right now. And the lens for the prophecy of His return is Israel. And that's what the book really goes into detail about.
How did this book change you as you researched it and wrote it?
Boy, I learned some things that I didn't know. Even being a pastor for decades, I learned some new revelations, some new layers of looking at Israel, looking at it geopolitically, what God is doing on the earth right now, and the promises that He has given. And it just put a fire in my heart to want to live for the Lord and want to share my faith with my friends and family.
All right. Well, we're talking about Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. It's a book that belongs in your library. It's available to our listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Philippians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.